The grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A dear fellow redeemed in Christ, I know I've said it before, but given today's text, this is a perfect time to say it again. And what I'd like to say again is this. The maddening thing about the Christian life is this. On the one hand, by God's grace, we believe God's word and trust that he will give us everything he has promised. And on the other hand, there still remains in us a sinful nature that does not believe God at all. Because of this, our sinful natures wrestle against that good faith which God has given us. This, in turn, causes us to question God's goodness and to doubt that he really has our best interests in mind. For example, our sinful natures hear God's promises and say, "Oh God, show me, and I will believe you. Give me a sign. Let me see some great miracle, and I will trust in you with all my heart." But God's reply is, "No. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." In other words, says the Lord, I have given you the greatest miracle the world has ever witnessed already, the death of my beloved Son on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, his ascension into heaven, along with his promise to return and raise the dead and make all things new. All this I have done for you already, for the forgiveness of your sins, so that by hearing this and believing it, you might have eternal life. You need nothing more than this. It is enough. Hearing is believing. And by hearing my promise that you are forgiven for the sake of my Son Jesus, by hearing this and believing it, your sins are forgiven and you are counted as righteous. And upon hearing this, we do believe and are saved. But over time, doubt still creeps in, does it not? Yes, indeed it does. But fear not. For you are not alone in your struggles of faith. After all, even Abram himself, the father of faith, has struggled in this way. So be encouraged, for just as God was faithful to give Abram all that he had promised, he too is faithful to give you all he has promised. In today's Old Testament text from Genesis chapter 15, we find Abram, whose name God would later change to Abraham, wrestling with whether he should believe God's promises or not. We know this because God speaks to Abram saying, "Abram, fear not," which clues us in that God said this because, in fact, Abram was afraid. But afraid of what? Well, evidently, Abram was afraid that God was not going to keep his promise, wherein God promised Abram to give him a son in his old age, for Abram and Sarai, his wife, were childless. And through this promised son, Abram would become the father of nations. And through this promised son, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And how would God bless all nations through this son of promise? By raising up from his offspring the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world, whom we know today as none other than Jesus Christ. And now from where we stand today, we can see clearly that God kept his promise to Abram and that all worked out according to God's plan. So we tend to not think too much about it. But from Abram's perspective, he was already an old man when God called him to leave his country and journey far away to this promised land. Consequently, then, as far as Abram was concerned, if God was not going to give him a son, or if he was going to give him a son, rather, he better make it quick. But alas, God's timetable is different than ours. We tend to think that God has forgotten a matter, or at the very least is running late. But as it turns out, God never forgets a promise, and his timing to fulfill that promise is always right on time. In today's Old Testament reading, it's been 10 years since God first promised to give Abram a son, which means that Abram is now 85 years old. He's not getting any younger, and neither is Sarai. So Abram starts to rewrite his last will and testament, where he is going to name Eleazar of Damascus, his most trusted servant, as the one who will inherit everything after he dies. But God shows up saying, essentially, "Abram, what are you doing?" Abram replies, essentially saying, "Lord, I am making plans to give all my possessions to Eleazar after I die, because I'm looking around and after all these years, I don't see the son you promised me. This makes me very anxious. I'm an old man and about to die and still have no children. So I figured that I should do something since you have determined to do nothing." To which God responds saying, "Fear not, Abram. In the realm of faith, seeing is not believing, but rather the opposite is true. In the realm of faith, hearing is believing. And therefore, hear what I, the true and only God, who cannot lie, say to you now. This man, Eleazar, shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." And God brought Abram outside and showed him the night sky and said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them." Then God said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And in hearing God's word, Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord God counted it to him as righteousness. And since Abram is called the father of faith, you would think that he never doubted God or questioned God's integrity. But he did, as do we all from time to time. For we, like believing Abraham, are those who nonetheless struggle with unbelief. So we often walk by sight and not by faith. And as a result, we too become anxious. We too start making backup plans to work things to our advantage in case this God thing doesn't work out. And in the midst of our worrisome scheming, Jesus speaks to us in today's gospel, just as he spoke to Abram, saying, "What are you doing? Son, daughter, do not fear. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. If God cares enough to clothe the fields with such beauty and feed the birds which do not toil for their food, how much more will he clothe and feed you, O you of little faith?" My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us be quick to agree with Jesus here, for truly we, all of us, are those of little faith. But fear not, for faith is a gift from God. You cannot muster it up from within yourself. Therefore, it's God's prerogative whether he chooses to give you a lot of faith or merely a little faith. So if you find that you are one of little faith, be encouraged, for even a little faith saves you. But God asks nothing more from you than what he has already given you. Well, other than, of course, that you gather together in his name for the hearing of his word and the receiving of his sacraments for the forgiveness of your sins and for the strengthening of that faith he has given you. But clearly, you are doing this already. Therefore, rejoice in the little faith that God has given you. For your faith in Christ has saved you. And his words to you are the same words he spoke to a dear woman in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. On that occasion, if you recall, a sinful woman washed Jesus' feet with her tears and anointed his feet with costly perfume, wiping his feet with her hair. He said to her, and he says to you, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Depart in peace. As children of faith, we find that we more often than we'd like to admit pray the prayer of that desperate father in Mark's gospel who fell at Jesus' feet, begging him to cast out a demon from his son. In recalling that story, we remember that Jesus' disciples had tried their hand at it and failed. The man now had serious doubts as to whether the demon could be cast out at all. So when Jesus showed up, the man said to him, if you can, please cast the demon out of my son. And Jesus seemed to take offense at this if statement, for it implied that the man doubted Jesus' power over the demonic realm. So Jesus replied to him with another if statement. Well, if you can believe that I can do this, all things are possible for one who believes. Here the man, realizing that he had but a little faith, rightly prayed, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And it was enough. And Jesus healed the man's son. This too is our prayer, is it not? Are we not also those who pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief? Yes, we are, and it is enough. Praise the Lord. Here, in summary and in closing, here is what we have heard and believed today. First and foremost is this: hearing is believing. Or, in other words, because we hear and believe God's promises, he counts us as righteous. What's amazing about this is we, in fact, in and of ourselves, are not righteous, for sin still remains in us and will until Jesus returns and makes all things new. As such, our righteousness is understood in a legal sense. In other words, we understand it in this way. If, for example, you were charged with a crime and found yourself in a courtroom standing before a judge, if that judge's gavel slammed down and the words that came from his lips were not guilty, guess what? Even though you might be guilty, you would be counted as innocent, and you would be set free to walk out of that courtroom and rejoin society, enjoying all the benefits of a free citizen. This is what God, our judge, does for us when we hear his promises and believe them. But because of our sinful nature, which still remains, it fights against that faith God has given us, whereby we believe his promises and are saved. As a result, this leads to fear and anxiousness that causes us to doubt God's promises, which in turn causes us to realize that we are those of little faith. As such, we pray, O Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And with this, Jesus hears our prayers and answers them, saying, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Depart in peace. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, even to life everlasting. Amen. Please stand for the offertory.